so high above the ground. I've dreamt for hours and hours about the day when I get saved and nothing can hold me down. I will fight through all the pain. It's a journey I will make. You can try, but you will never break this heart.
One.
I don't wanna wait for nobody.
Keep it locked.
I should've bought you flowers.
Turn your radio on. We are WFM 91.7.
الصلاة على النبي والسلام على الرسول والأنبياء المرسلين كلهم مكرمون. Blessings be upon Nabi, peace be upon the messenger and the prophets who were sent. All of them were honored. Adam, Idris, Nuh, Hud, Saleh, Ibrahim, Lut, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf, Ayyub, Shu'ib, Musa, Harun, Dhulkifli, Dawud, Sulaiman, Ilyas, Al-Yasa'a, Yunus, Zakaria, Yahya, Isa, والآخر الخاتم الأنبياء محمد المصطفى. الصلاة على النبي والسلام على الرسول والأنبياء المرسلين. Blessings be upon Nabi, peace be upon the messenger and the prophets who were sent. All of them were honored. Nawir qulubana ya Allah ka qalbi rasulika ya Allah. Nawir qulubana ya Allah ka qalbi rasulika ya Allah. Adam, Idris, Nuh, Hud, Saleh, Ibrahim, Lut, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf, Ayyub, Shu'ib, Musa, Harun, Dhulkifli, Dawud, Sulaiman, Ilyas, Al-Yasa'a, Yunus, Zakaria, Yahya, Isa, والآخر الخاتم الأنبياء محمد المصطفى.
Moses, Aaron, Ezekiel, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, Jonah, Zechariah, John, Jesus, Muhammad. Peace be upon them all.
الصلاة على النبي والسلام على الرسول والأنبياء المرسلين كلهم مكرمون. Blessings be upon the Nabi, peace be upon the messenger and the prophets who were sent. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن المنافقين يخادعون الله وهو خادعهم وإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالى يراءون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. مذبذبين بين ذلك لا إله هؤلاء ولا إله هؤلاء. ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين. أتريدون أن تجعلوا لله عليكم سلطانا مبينا. إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار ولن تجد لهم نصيرا. صدق الله العظيم.
When you feel all alone in this world and there's nobody to count your tears, just remember no matter where you are, Allah knows. Allah knows. When you're carrying a monster load and you wonder how far you can go,
a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7 is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
On أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I am Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you all to Everyday Muslim Show on Woman Radio 91.7 FM on this day Saturday June 1st 2024 corresponding to the 24th of Dhul Qa'dah 1445 AH at this juncture I know a lot of people are already gearing up for the Eid al-Adha. So we're only some days away from Eid al-Adha. So happy Eid al-Adha in advance. And at the same time, I'd like to use this avenue to wish the pilgrims, the Hujjaj, a successful journey to the Holy Land in Mecca. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the wherewithal to do the Hajj rite as expected of them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the effort as an act of worship. All right, inshallah. The program is Everyday Muslim Show. On this show, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, force a peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Bi Qudratillah, today we'll be looking at a very, very important topic, and that has to do with infertility. Infertility, a test of faith. Infertility, a test of faith. I know a lot of people like, infertility? What has that got to do with Everyday Muslim Show? But then, I know quite well, because everything that we do in life, you know, Islam already has prescriptions for them. And infertility as a situation is also something that one way or the other, we also need to show concern about it and to know what guidance already Islam has provided for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us in the Quran that He gives whomever He wills, a female child, and to others He gives a male child. And for some people, He actually combines them. They give birth to male, they give birth to female, they give birth to male, they give birth to female. And for some other categories of people, they're actually made barren. Wow. For those that are barren, I know quite well a lot of people will be concerned. In fact, there are so many misconceptions people have about barrenness. Some even attach it to probably spiritual attacks. Some say, oh, it's waywardness. What exactly is your own understanding of infertility and its causes? Well, looking at the verse of the Quran that we just quoted, it indicates that childbearing is Allah's design beyond the power of each human being. On the program today, we'd like to examine the concept of infertility, its causes. We'll need to clarify the myths and misconceptions as well as the treatment for infertility. And to take us through this, we have in the house Dr. Halima Olaleri. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, you might be wondering, who exactly is Dr. Halima Olaleri? Well, let me just give you an abridged, a profile of our guest. Dr. Olaleri holds an MBBS from the University of Ibadan. She's a fellow of many, medical organizations. She holds a postgraduate diploma and an MSc in sexual and reproductive medicine from the University of South Wales. She is also a certified mediator. Currently, she is a clinical lecturer and honorary consultant obstetrician and gynecologist at the Lagos State University College of Medicine and Lagos State University Teaching Hospital, Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Additionally, she is the medical director of Triple H Fertility Hub in Surulere, Lagos. Formerly, she was a fertility specialist at the Institute of Fertility Medicine at Lasuth. She is a fellow of the National Postgraduate Medical College of Nigeria and a member of various professional bodies. Dr. Olaleri is passionate about voluntary medical services and health awareness. She is an active member of Islamic Medical Association Nigeria, IMAN, Lagos chapter. She provides medical services in prisoner communities. Wow. You can see she is very much involved in NGO activities. She frequently appears on TV programs and social media platforms for health education. She is an alumnus, like I said, of the University of Ibadan and University of South Wales, United Kingdom, with numerous trainings both locally and internationally. Again, we welcome Dr. Halima Olaleri to Everyday Muslim Show on WFM 91.7. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh again.
Thanks for having me.
Alhamdulillah. So, to begin with, because we're looking at infertility as a test of faith, and I know even for some people, they don't even, because there are some people, they are atheists, they don't believe in God, or they don't even have a kind of faith whatsoever. They're just free thinkers. So, but on a general note, when we talk about infertility, what exactly do we mean? And what can you probably say are its causes, so that for the benefit of our audience, who probably might, be by hear that word or that concept for the first time, infertility. So what exactly does it mean?
Thank you. When we talk about infertility, we're referring to the failure of a woman and a man. We're referring to the couple this time around to achieve pregnancy after a year of unprotected sexual intercourse. I mean, when we're talking about the man and a woman, not a man and a man and a woman and a woman.
Not Adam and Steve.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So if they've been trying to having a regular unprotected penetrative ejaculatory intercourse for 1 year and there was no pregnancy. So we said okay, there's infertility. However, if the woman's age is above 35 years, that 1 year gap that we give to general will be after 6 months of unprotected sexual intercourse.
Wow.
We declare the woman to be to be evaluated for infertility.
Oh. So what exactly accounts for that 35 years now that you just mentioned?
Age related.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the infertility both and the aspect of the man and the woman is age related.
Okay.
Though there's a myth that the man can still be fertile till old age.
Mm-hmm.
The men too, and they believe that the woman that attained menopause. So man too has the decline of fertility with age.
So do we have something like do we now call it andropause?
Well, the men still have declining fertility.
Okay, so as they age.
As they age. From 5th to 6th decade, there's decrease in the quality of the semen, the decrease in the outcome of the reproduction. Okay. Also, there is also this decrease in sexual function. You can see where the erectile dysfunction is coming into play. There's a decrease in the libido.
Okay.
There's no urge to have sexual functions. Decreases with age, so in men.
Okay, so it
is both couples, men and women's related, age-related.
Okay, because I was concerned when you said 35 years, I will now consider just 6 months instead of 1 year for probably those that are lower. So I was like, is it that we expect someone that above 35 years to probably be more, active, or the body system is actually more active to probably to gain, to experience conception?
You know, when we said that there's age-related decline in ovarian reserve,
we don't want to wait longer
and to lose more because the egg of the woman is not producing more.
Okay.
So the one that it gets
the rate of production reduces with age.
So we don't want to waste so much time before we start evaluating.
So we'll not wait for 1 year before we conduct that evaluation. All right. So, and I love the fact that you mentioned that it's both men and women that are involved here, because naturally a lot of times people are like, it's the woman. Accusing finger straight to the woman, you know. It's a man's world, actually, unfortunately. But then, at the same time, now that you have mentioned it, so men out there, there is a case of infertility over to everyone, because we also have, you know, all these, mother-in-laws that are always like, you know. So it's something that we need to check both the man and the woman that are involved in such. All right, so now, in fact, that exactly will take me to the next line of question, and that has to do with the myths and misconceptions that people have about infertility. So, because some might even feel that it's a curse from the ancestors, or probably someone has actually committed one abomination, that's why such a woman is not again. So can you lead us into some of these myths that people have concerning infertility?
Okay, thank you. Like we were discussing before, that what is infertility, what are the causes of infertility?
Okay.
Infertility as both men and women causes. There's a lot of myths about infertility, that it is only the women's issue.
Okay.
That it is not age related. And it's only when you are stressed that you are infertile. Or the women that will have been prostitute. They will have
wayward.
They will have
promiscuous.
Mm-hmm. That's why they come down being infertile. And some people even believe that it is a woman that does not have a child or that doesn't get pregnant is a wish. It's because it's fetish. That's why she does not get pregnant.
True.
So all these myths need to be reoriented. The age infertility can be caused as a result of the ovarian decline. Okay, like I said the other time, for a woman to be pregnant, the female reproductive organ has the ovary. Ovary is a bag of egg that has been formed since the girl child has been inside her mother's womb.
Wow.
So it's that egg, as at that time, the egg was about 7 million.
Wow.
So as at the time the girl child was born, this was about 1 to 2 million.
Wow.
So it is continuous
decline
as the child is growing. So as at the time she's mature to start having menstruation, she has only about 400 to 500,000 that remain.
Wow.
So out of these 400 to 500,000, every month, 5 to 15 will be developing. It's only one that will be mature enough to be released as ovulation.
Wow.
So as at the time the girl child is getting to age like age 35, age 40, it is declining.
That's a very rapid rate.
It is age related.
Okay.
And, you know, because of career,
ambitions,
most of the women
get married late.
Unlike during our grandmother's era, where by age 16, 18, the woman is already started reproduction. So that age related decline makes the infertility now more
rampant
among the women. Yeah, you know what her academic career is like, but as at the time, a 16-year-old getting to university, strike to this.
That is even if she gains admission. If not afflicted with jam upon jam,
okay,
and
by
she has
time
been jammed,
she's dead, by 20, they will have been in the university.
Strike upon strike.
8 years.
Yeah.
So by 28, they are coming out, and that's not the time they'll get a suitor to start reproducing.
Because they want to work first.
They want to work. To hand.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, that decline has affected.
Mm.
Then there's this issue about the personal hygiene.
Mm.
The way Allah created a woman is such a way that there are three openings.
Mm-hmm.
And the genital area of a woman. But those three openings were so closed that there could be transfer of germs from one opening to another. The opening that is closer forward is for the urine. The one next is where the vagina, where the menses come out from. And the rear one was the anus, where the fecal matter comes out from. So in the course of personal hygiene, when the female clean up anteriorly, so there's a tendency of transmitting
germs
from the inner area, from where the fecal matter comes out from, to the vagina or to the where the urine come out from. So there's something else we called ascending infection. Ascending infections that can cause pelvic inflammatory disease.
Oh.
So with this, tube of a woman can block. So what took me to that area is that for a woman to get pregnant, when the egg is released every month that we call ovulation, so that egg that is released will pass through the tube, the fallopian tubes, to enter into the body of the uterus of the female organ. So the sperm that is coming from the vagina will meet that oocyte that is released and fertilize. So they can meet in the womb, they can meet outside by the tube. And when fertilization occurs, they'll come back inside the tube to come and implant and become, after 9 months, the woman will deliver as a child. But if there is any problem with any of these process, either from the ovulations, whether the woman did not ovulate, that the egg is not releasing, which may be as a result of several things, that woman needs to pay attention to. So, or if the egg is released and the tube that is happened to be the conduit
through which
the egg
the
and
process,
the sperm were made, as we blocked. So there will not going to be fertilization.
Hygiene issues can actually cause a blockade
For the tube.
Of the tube. And yes, that would affect that process of fertilization.
Fertilization.
Okay. Okay.
Another thing that could cause it is if there is the issue with the male factor, the sperm, which has different causes. Either the man is not producing at all, or either what the man is producing is only water, as in only the semen. I'm sorry to use water. Only semen. That the sperm matricide, the sperm cell itself, is not inside. The sperm cell is produced in the scrotum. The scrotum sac is the one that is dangling down.
Yeah.
Okay? So the testis is inside the scrotum sac. So the if the sperm is produced in the testis, it's going to pass through the epididymis, the cord, and through the cord, to where? Through the cord to where it is going to be released to the main genital organ. Okay?
Okay.
So if there is, and
I remember my secondary school biology.
Yeah. There's something under the bladder of a man. They call prostate.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So around that place, some other fluid are produced there that will be added to the semen, the sperm that is produced from the testes.
Okay.
So all of them will come out together.
Oh.
Okay. So if there's a blockage from the sperm cord, that's first difference.
Yes.
So the spermatocyte that is coming, the swells that are coming, did not reach where
it ought to get.
It ought to get to. So the man was going to be shooting the semen, and there's no sperm cells there
in it.
So, but the fact that the man is releasing something,
so he feels
good that it is the woman's problem. I don't have any issue.
Wow.
So most of the time, this is one of the problems that women have.
Men, I hope you're listening, even though this is women.
Then another thing is that there could be that. Fine, the man is actually producing a lot. The man may reproduce as much as a spoon of rice. This 5 ml spoon may contain 20 million of spermatocytes per meal. So that means a 5 ml spoon may have 100 million of sperm. And the funniest part of it, that out of that 100 million, it may be 99% of it was dead.
Wow. Wow.
So, in that case, we said the man has oligospermia. And the sperm count is...
It's producing, but it's actually dead.
It's producing, but most of it is dead. Or is it like most of it that cannot move? Astenospermia, that's not moving at all. Or keratospermia, most of these has either two heads, short tail, that we don't allow the sperm to be able to move. Because the distance between the vagina and the peritoneum where the sperm is going to pass through is a lot for that tiny creatures that you cannot see with the eye. So the issue about infertility is the couple issue that needs to be assessed. So our men should always put it a little bit of effort. When we evaluate infertile couple, we don't put a blame. It's not a blame game.
It's an assessment, it's an evaluation.
Yeah, as evaluation, both the man and the woman. Okay. So, and when we realize that there's an issue with at one aspect, it's going to be treated appropriately, not to throw a dagger and arrow that na you, na me.
Wow. We're learning a lot. It's Everyday Muslim on WFM. I know. I feel like are we in a medical class or something? And I want us to try as much as possible, you know, to simplify it. And at the same time, it's daytime, and I know, you know, different categories of people too could be listening. So, but at the same time, it's something that is just a reality. What is happening in our society? For those of you that probably you actually don't take your biology classes seriously, this is for you to learn that. All those that you learned in biology, I feel like I'm an art student. So, what's my business with all this? Terms that you're talking about, vas deferens, epididymis, you know, and all those glands and all those things that you learned in your biology, all those drawings, they are actually very, very useful if truly you pay attention to it. So our teachers, please, let's try as much as possible to make students understand the value of some of these things beyond just the normal, you know, hysteria that goes on in classes, when especially biology classes, when the topic is reproduction. All right, now so with all these that you have now stated, so how prevalent do you think? Because I'm trying to consider what happened in the past, like you mentioned, that in the days of our grandparents and things like that, when the attention education is not there, compared to this now. So how prevalent do you still see the issue of infertility is in our society today?
Well, infertility is a global issue. It's topical. And globally, we have 8 to 12% of couples that are infertile. Wow. However, that's 8 to 12%. That means, if you say, we can say 1 in 10 couples, if you have 1 in 10 family has infertility issue, that's globally. However, come down home.
Okay.
We could say 15 to 45% of couples have infertility issue.
In Nigeria?
Yeah. The infertility issue has two prongs. There is primary infertility, the people that have not, the woman have not been pregnant before, ever, and the man have never impregnated any woman before.
Okay, that's so primary.
That's primary.
Okay.
So, the secondary, that the woman had been pregnant before, had even had a child before.
Okay.
But after that, to get another child
becomes a problem.
So, that's what. So, most of the prevalence is more of the secondary infertility
than the primary. All right, because at least for a lot of people, they're like, let me just even have one so that they can call me Mama Shade, Mama Chinedu, you know, and the likes like that. Mama Abdullah, at least you won't say I'm infertile, at least I have one. At least, and the pressure would reduce, but at least, you know, someone would say, let me have additional, but even if I don't have additional, that at least I'm not scoring zero. Now, so at least I have proven doubters wrong whether or not I have the capacity to give birth to a child. But then, looking at that now, and you have said the fact that the infertility prevalence is more on the secondary than of the primary. So, in that case, what are some of the common emotional challenges faced by couples, or people generally dealing with infertility, especially among new couples? You know, people generally at weddings tell you, after 9 months, you know, we want to come and eat rice. So, and different kinds of prayers. Apologies to probably those who don't understand Yoruba. You know, they will say, eniyawo ni meni, and things like, you know, all those things that we say on the days of wedding. So, what's the emotional challenges like for couples facing infertility, especially among those that are new?
Infertility could be emotionally draining, especially after wedding, newly married, for newly married couple. There are a lot of anxiety that I will soon get pregnant. My contemporaries or my friends that we got married together
are already mothers.
There are a lot of disappointments and a lot of feelings of inadequacy. Was I not a woman enough? Or was I not man enough? It affects men equally as the way it affects women.
Wow.
Okay. But men feel you can bust the ego of a man by telling the man you're not man enough to impregnate a woman.
Wow.
It's called, if it is
emotional damage.
If it is a society people commit suicide, it's enough for a man to say, I can't take this. But Nigerians, we love to be alive. Okay.
And we're resilient people.
We're resilient people. That's why it is good to have a good support system around. Then, most of the time, infertility can be gendered, that the woman carried it mostly on the head. Society tagged women more when pregnancy doesn't occur. And some even believe that the woman is doing something to actually protect or to prevent her from getting pregnant.
It's an intentional thing.
They would be feel that probably is an intentional thing. So it's a lot of times, it's way than the couples, both men and women, when this issue of infertility come into play. Apart from the emotionally draining, a lot of anxiety, the feeling of these isolations, we want to go to party, social gatherings because of the fear, the feelings that how will I feel when I see my contemporaries bringing their children. They want to go to family gatherings. I once had one of my clients that said, "Doctor, whatever how much it costs for me to have a child, please, I want to have one." Anytime we go for a
family
event, there is one woman that is my mother's friend, my mother-in-law's friend. I'm the one that they always ask to come and serve that woman. And when I serve the woman food, she'll start praying. You know the kind of prayer that will make you weep for years.
Wow.
That a lot of people there that doesn't even know that
she doesn't have a child.
Have a child will
be the kind of prayer.
The kind of prayer the woman will start raining.
Mm.
Okay. So it could be very, very emotional torture.
Mm. So now looking at it, so having considered that, so what kind of coping strategies can people adopt to really overcome especially this emotional stress that you can probably share with our listeners?
Well, this is where the faith comes into. Once the woman has realized that Ayri wa Shari minallah, what is good, what is sweet, what is sour, all comes from my creator, and there is time for everything. Allah's delay is not a delay, is not denial. If Allah, I love the verse you quoted at the beginning, that Allah does not promise everybody that
you have a child.
You have a child. What is certain for all everybody is you are born
and you die.
Okay. But when you are sure, okay, prayer changes Qadar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, destiny.
We pray and we seek for help. Okay, wherever it is, then we practice self-care, healthy living habits, adequate sleep, exercise, give you a lot of release endorphins, happy hormones, connect with others that have similar challenges.
Okay.
You understand, you realize where you're making that effort, the wrong things you're doing or the right ways to take. And there's need for the partner, the couple to communicate, have an open communication with each other. So be open, be honest with each other. Okay, this is how I feel. Oh, this is how I feel too. Okay, why can't we pray together? We do things together. Don't allow the third party. Right? By the time the third party come into in between, they tend to separate them apart. I've had a lot of patients that before the man agreed to be evaluated, they would have spent a lot of years with their filthy fingers to the woman. And you know, it's easy for the most of the time, it's easy for the man to say, okay, bring in another woman. Bring in another woman.
Yeah.
By the time they brought in plenty of women and
they're still the same.
They realize that, Oga, go and evaluate yourself too. So we don't need to wait to that time that the woman's time is, the reproductive time is
very low.
Very small. Then professional counseling, the therapist, is important. They have different of. There's an association of fertility and reproductive health in Nigeria that contains a specialist that into the fertility care. We have the fertility nurses, fertility embryologists, and the like. We have the website. I happen to be the financial secretary of the association.
Wow.
So we have the website, and we have the accredited facilities.
Okay.
That facilities that are fertility.
So there are specialists who treat or provide care
for the infertility.
For the infertile.
So that they're not going to be patronizing where they're going to get more harm than good. I've had a patient that because of seeking for fertility, went to all sort of places, gave her soap, inserted in the vagina, and but before you know it, the vagina got burnt and got wound and healed together because of the gynetresia. So when the thing healed together, the husband cannot enter again for penetration.
My
so
goodness.
The relationship got sour, and
Allah
she was chased away. All in the course of looking for pregnancy. So it's important to seek help,
professional
help. Okay.
That's
so
good.
They're ready to work with you. They're ready to guide you, and they're ready to witness the success of others. It's another thing, as in when you go there, you see saying that people that we came here together, they get the success story. So it's a motivational thing for you to also know that, okay, there is also always a light
at the end of the tunnel.
The tunnel.
All right. So you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 WFM. So we'll go on a quick break. When we return, the program continues. Please do stay with us.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home and stay with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know. Everything was changed when you came along. Oh, and there's a couple of words I wanna say. For the rest of my life, I'll be with you. I'll stay by your side, honest and true.
You're welcome back. You're still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. And we have been discussing infertility, a test of faith. And our guest is Dr. Halima Olaleri. Dr. Halima Olaleri is a clinical lecturer and honorary consultant obstetrician and gynecologist at the Lagos State University College of Medicine and Lagos State University Teaching Hospital, Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. She is the medical director of Triple H Fertility Hub in Surulere, Lagos. She is a fellow of the National Postgraduate Medical College of Nigeria and a member of various professional bodies. So she is our guest on the program today, and she's taking us through the topic, Infertility, a Test of Faith. We have actually considered what infertility is, what are some of the common causes, and what are some of the misconceptions or myths that people have concerning infertility. And at the same time, we have also been able to consider some of the ways by which we can support those that are experiencing infertility. You can be part of the program by calling the number 07000 917 917. Is the number 07000 917 917. If you want to send SMS or WhatsApp, you can send that to the number 0703 175 6537. That is 0703 175 6537 for your SMS or WhatsApp. The number to call again if you want to call in is 07000 917 917. All right, so we'll be expecting your message and your call to be a part of this program. All right, so Dr. Lalere, I want us to look at medical treatments for infertility. So what kinds of treatments are available to those who need this professional help of fertility doctors, and what has been the success rate of these treatments for those who are suffering infertility?
Thank you. There are various medical treatments available for infertility, but there is no one size fits all.
Okay.
So the treatment of infertility has to be individualized. Okay. And
peculiar to those that are involved.
Peculiar to people that are involved. Like I mentioned, that there's a male factor, there's a female factor. Okay. And to some, the female factor may be ovulatory factor, maybe they are not ovulating. Okay. To some, it may be a tubal factor, that the tube is blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To some, it may be the uterine factor. Maybe they have uterine fibroid, they have Asherman's. I mean, the endometrium has already gone together.
Okay.
I say. And to some, it may just be a male factor, infertility.
Mm.
Okay. So, and to some, it may just be that both the man and the woman, they are just amateur. You know,
okay.
They're both
inexperienced.
They're both inexperienced. So we've had one that they did not consummate wedding after 9 months, and they thought they're actually having sexual intercourse.
Wow.
So that's where counseling and experience come into play. So, however, for those that have ovulatory factor, maybe the woman is not ovulating. After assessing where the woman come, we're going to take the history from her. We need to assess her. Okay, after the history, we examine her. So after examining, there are some investigations, blood investigations, radiological investigations.
Different tests
that Duma will do. So having done that, after doing it, and we realize that this is the particular problem the woman has. So the treatment, the evidence treatment is going to be tailored based into the cause of the infertility. So let me take, for instance, if the woman has an ovulatory cycle, that everything is perfect, just that the woman is not ovulating. Okay? So we need to know what is the cause of ovulating. Because in infertility itself is just like headache. So headache is not a disease, particular
it's
disease.
It's a symptom.
It's a symptom of so many things.
Okay.
So we need to get to
the
root of what symptom is it. So for a woman that has an ovulatory cycle, okay, maybe it is because the water is coming from her breast. Some people are producing milk and they are not breastfeeding.
Wow.
So in that kind of a situation, we may need to just treat her for that thing that is causing excess milk production. Water is coming from the breast, maybe from the husband sucking the breast, or from some other medications that the woman is on.
Wow.
That is making her to they're having milk discharge. So when we cancel on, okay, if it's a habit, if it's lifestyle modifications, so please, stop
this
more. Then use these medications. After that, some of them will start ovulating spontaneously, and pregnancy will come. And it may be that people that maybe sexual dysfunction is taking place. Okay, I don't enjoy it. Is it food? Is it that? Okay, sorry, it's not food, but you have to actually understand each other and enjoy it for the moment of that progression that you want at that time. So, and some people that the tubal blockage is the issue. Okay, some may be the male factor, or the cervical factor, that the mucus is not allowing the sperm to pass. So that kind of people will say, okay, let's do intrauterine inseminations. Okay, intrauterine insemination is, we collect the sperm from the man, wash it, and stimulate the woman, monitor her towards the time that she's going to ovulate, and push the sperm there for her. So that is one method. Another thing, there's something we call assisted reproductive technique. That assisted reproductive technique, in that one, another name for it, in vitro fertilization.
Okay, IVF.
So common,
okay.
IVF. Mm. Okay. So the IVF involves taking the sperm, stimulating the woman, giving the woman some medications that are going to make her produce more than one egg. Okay. Not every month one egg is released.
Okay,
but for the IVF, we give her the drugs that mimic the natural natural cycle, but make her produce more than at least 10 to 15 eggs.
Okay,
so take the woman to the lab to go and collect
the eggs,
collect the sperm from the man, wash it, and inseminate it. There's something called intracytoplasmic sperm insemination.
Don't worry,
put it inside the egg and fertilize it. So fertilization happens, and then when the embryo is formed, we now go and transfer it back into the woman.
Okay, so it's
so
that is done from the outside and
from outside
inserted,
and put inside.
Okay,
as a natural incubator for that to happen.
All right.
So, I think that should be
enough as is for now. For those that are ahead, or so, yes. But then, so what has been the success rate of some of these, treatments? Because for a lot of people, I've had cases of so many people that have done IVFs, very expensive, and still the story remains the same.
Yeah, well, it's pathetic that IVF is a bit expensive for an average Nigerian, okay, and It is not part of what our government subsidized. You know, considering what the population is before.
We even tried to control the population. Okay. So
most of the drugs and most of the consumables, we've not started making those drugs like paracetamol here.
So we don't mass produce them.
You do mass produced. They are imported. So it's as if it impacts on the cost.
The cost
of IVF. And aside that, you know, the natural cycle, it is not every month. It's not every month that woman ovulates that she got pregnant. Okay? So IVF success is age dependent. Okay. Like I used the word that that's
35 years
bracket the other time. So for the woman that is less than 35 years, the chances of the success of having a live birth rate on IVF may be up to 55%.
Okay.
So but from 35 and to 37 years, the success of the IVF may be 30 to 40%.
Okay.
And for anything from 38 to 40 years, you can still have 26.8%. But after 40,
the chances get slimmer.
It gets slimmer.
All right, good.
And be as low as less than 5%.
Wow. Okay, all right.
So, however, for the yields of for a woman that is more than 40 years, for the use of the donor egg, so the chance of the success will now it depends on the age of the egg and also on the sperm, the quality of the sperm that is being used, and as well as the endometrial factor of the womb they are going to put
the
embryo. The so there are so many factors that is associated with the success of the IVF.
All right, so it's not just IVF. There are so many other treatments. So IVF, it's just that IVF is very, very common. People hear it, they talk about it, but at the same time, it's also very, very expensive. All right, beyond that, so now that we have looked at some of the treatments of infertility, it's like I said, you can be part of this by calling the number 07000-917-917, and you can also send an SMS or WhatsApp to the number 0703-175-6537. All right, so we're still waiting for your messages or calls. They're very quickly because of time. We have just a couple of minutes to go. I want you to look at, because we're talking about this is everyday Muslim. So effect does infertility have on people's faith, and what role do you think faith can play in addressing the stress or the emotional challenges that come with infertility?
Thank you. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of role that the support group will have. Part of the support group
is a religious support group.
It's a religious body.
Okay.
Part of the support group is a family.
Okay.
Part of the support group is health practitioners.
Okay.
And the support group is equally the friends.
Okay.
So, for the religious group, the religious body, they counseling the woman on what the prophet said, what the
Quran said.
What Quran said, what Bible says, how the people of the past have been tested. And the
story of Ibrahim
that we are even close to
Zachariah,
we are close to Eid al-Kabir.
Learning
from the lesson of the Eid al-Kabir. Okay, the story of Hannah, how old she got before she was able to have Samuel that she devoted to go and serve God. The story of Hajar and the
Sarah.
How old she was able to have
Ishaq.
So thinking about all those things of canceling the couple weeks is reassuring for them that Allah has not forsaken me. Okay, that's being delayed is not that
is not denial.
It's not denial. There's still hope.
There's hope
for me.
Okay.
So then, putting the trust in Allah.
Okay. All right.
Put the trust in God.
That's good. That's good. But for the family and friends, so what role can they also play in this regard? Because I know a lot of them, the pressure that people face usually come from these two groups of people, family and friends. So what role can they also now play in assisting families to overcome the emotional stress?
Okay. The families comparison is a problem. We should avoid referring couple to. We went to the wedding of Isaac before we went to the wedding of
Ismail.
Ismail has delivered. The children is already 5. You, what are you doing? You better look for another small. As in, try to help them emotionally. If it is a financial problem they have, the families and friends has to come around. A friend in need is a friend indeed. So, and if Allah has so much, so much destiny that they're not going to have any, so be it. Okay, and we should have this mindset that Allah has not created you to do anything than just to worship Him. Okay, now like I said earlier on that Allah has not promised everybody that everybody will have children. I said if Allah wish, He gives some people male children. If He wish, He give people female.
Our mother Aisha, radhiallahu anha. Our mother Aisha.
If that is the issue, the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the friend of Allah. Why will his favorite wife, not have any child?
The only one he married as a virgin, for that matter,
you don't have
the youngest
child.
Among them, did not have a child. Yeah. So you won't say it's waywardness. You won't say it's lack of faith. Okay, so we have a call. Yeah, hello.
Everyday Muslim. Good morning.
Good morning. You're welcome. So, what's the name and where you're calling from?
This is Mr. Yusuf Olamilekan Adedeo. I'm calling from Alakoko, Lagos.
All right. You're welcome.
To save time, I greet our dear sister, our gynae or doctor there.
Yes.
So my question is this. At what point can married couples confirm that, okay, at this stage, they can agree that there is an infertility case. Maybe they married now. So is it a year, two? And did you get my point now?
Yes. We got your point. That after what time can we say, yes, there is a case of infertility?
Yeah, is it a year or two?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Although the doctor has already answered that, but at the same time, you can probably do a quick recap because we are rounding off.
Thank you, sir. For the couple, when they are at the point at which they should seek for help, after 1 year of they sure that they are having regular sexual intercourse at least 3 times in a week.
Okay.
Every week they are meeting, and the woman is aware of ovulation period. So at that period, at least they are meeting.
Okay.
So if they don't have for 1 year and there is no pregnancy and they are not using any protection, then they should seek help.
Okay, good. All right. So, and if it's above 35 years, one is already above 35 years, living less than six months.
All
right. Thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Yusuf Olamilekan. So, on a final note, so what advice do you have, rounding off, what advice do you have for couples that are experiencing infertility and to the support groups around them? What advice do you have on a final note now?
So, on the final note, for the couples that are experiencing
infertility,
please do not lose hope. Keep strong and communicate with each other. Don't not game blaming issues, and seek help in the appropriate facility.
Okay.
And pray.
The support groups around them?
Yeah, the support groups, fertility support group. And
the families, the friends,
religious bodies, then the professionals, the healthcare professionals
should also provide the necessary support.
Provide necessary support
and not add to the pressure.
Not add to the pressure.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. That's how far we'll be able to go on the program today. We'd like to appreciate our guest, Dr. Halima Halaliri, for you know, taking us through, helping us break down all some of this concept, and for us to really understand it beyond the fact that some of those are, you know, medical terms, for us to really understand that infertility can be caused by both, it can happen in both men and women, and it could be you know, a natural thing, it could be as a result of inexperience, it could be as a result of, you know, different factors. So what matters most is let us seek help where necessary, and let us be professional about it, and let us also keep hope alive that yes, it can be possible. And in case it does still does not happen, remember she said God has not promised anyone that you would give birth. What is sure is you are alive, you met yourself alive, and certainly you would also leave this world. So we also like to appreciate our listeners, including those who are able to call, especially Mr. Yusuf Olamilekan, and to those of you out there, we can't do this without you. We are happy that you listen to us, and that's why we're able to come here. Thank you very much for listening to the program today. Praise to all those who are experiencing infertility that one way or the other. God will comfort you, and God will answer your prayers. And at the end of the day, may God actually give you the fruits of, you know, the marriage that we all yearn for. Everyday Muslim will make its way back next week, inshallah, same time, 11 a.m. on the same station at WFM 91.7. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.